In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus healed the man that was brought to him, so that those who had doubted him in their hearts could see something had happened that could not be seen. The healing gave testimony to the fact that God the Father had forgiven the sins of this man through his incarnate Son, Jesus the Christ. That was the power that had been given unto men. It could not be seen that the man's sins were forgiven. And so Jesus told the man to rise from his bed and walk. Oftentimes when we confess our sins and repent of them, we are ourselves in doubt that anything has happened. What has changed? Because God has forgiven us. We doubt. But the fact is that when we repent of sins and God forgives us, we are then able to go and walk in a way that we had not been able to walk before. Unburdened and unbound by that sin that we have repented of and been forgiven because we have been healed. And what does that mean? It means that likeness of God that was given us in the beginning, in baptism, has been restored to us because we share it with God. That's the only way we can have the likeness of God. God creates us in the image of himself and in his likeness. But when we turn from him, when we miss the mark and sin and fall, then we lose our likeness to God. We become like that which is not like God. But when he forgives our sin, our likeness to God is restored to us. Our union to him, our oneness with him is restored to us. And we are able to get up and to walk without that sin, unless we choose that sin again. Now the enemy will try to convince us that there is some kind of permanent reservoir of that kind of sin that dominates us from within. But it's not true. That would mean that Christ had not come and freed us from domination by the presence of death in the world and the fear that causes us to sin, the fear that causes us to rely on things other than God, other than Christ, the incarnate Son of God. We sin because we choose to act in some way that we cannot act in oneness with God. There are things that we cannot do along with God. We cannot steal. We cannot take God's name in vain. We can't commit one of the great sins of the Ten Commandments, along with God, in communion with him. Those things separate us from him, and they need forgiveness. Well, once that forgiveness is given in Christ, who came specifically in order to be able to restore our communion with God, we are free of that sin. The enemy will try to convince us it's different. He will attack us exactly according to that sin and try to convince us, this is the way you are. You act in this way because this is your true nature, to be sinful in this particular way. But it's not true. Christ can unbind us from our sins. When we think of confession, we think too often specifically and particularly, and we're starting a fast tomorrow, you know, 2-week fast. Lots of spiritual challenges during that time. But when we think of coming to the sacrament of confession, even though we may have been Orthodox Christians for a very long time, we still have a tendency to think in legalistic terms. Coming to the sacrament of repentance is similar to coming to the sacrament of baptism or coming to the sacrament of communion. We are being cleansed, purified, given something that will sustain us. We take it with us back into the world. And we live and act in the world according to our oneness and likeness to God, and not according to a oneness, a false oneness and likeness with the world. that which is not God. We come to the sacrament of confession so that we can leave and take that repentance along with us. And if we fall, specifically and particularly according to that sin that we have confessed in the sacrament of confession, then we don't wait for the next time that we are going to go to the sacrament of confession. We come to the priest and receive communion, because the priest is there in order to be able to give the communion with God through Christ, as we are commanded to do. And we come to the priest when we need to have our children baptized into the life of Christ. And we come to the priest for the sacrament of confession in order to establish something that we take back into the world. He's not someone with the legalistic power to say, well, your sins are forgiven. In the prayer that the priest reads, usually to himself, it says that the priest is only a witness to Christ who is there and performs this sacrament of forgiveness. God's forgiveness of us. God's healing of that sin that we repent of. And we go out into the world, and whenever we slip and fall, we repent again. We return to that repentance. When we leave and we've received communion, we go into the world, and that communion, that oneness with God, we are told at the end of the Divine Liturgy that we are supposed to go out into the world and live the life that we have been given at the chalice, the life of a oneness with God. And in this repairing sacrament of confession, we are given a return to oneness and likeness with God so that we can go and walk free of that particular sin. And if we stumble, then we return to that repentance again. Each day, at the end of the day, we should review our day and see those times when we have returned a sharp word with a sharp word, a tooth for a tooth, and repent of that sin. It's nowhere said that we can only confess our sins to a priest at the sacrament of confession. We bring our sins to the sacrament of confession in order to establish the sacramental nature of repentance, so that when we do ask God for forgiveness of our sins at the end of the day, having reviewed them, and say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He forgives us just as he forgave us at the sacrament of repentance. And so repentance and forgiveness, they can become a cleansing and a renewal on a daily basis. Not just legalistically, in the sense that if we have done something that will send us to hell, we want to be sure to confess it because, number one, we don't want to go to hell. Number two, we want to be able to go to the chalice, and we know if we've done something that is really terrible and broken one of the Ten Commandments, we have to go to confession and confess that, or we can't go to the chalice and we will go to hell. All of that is nonsense. All of that is the devil's theology. Christ came into the world in order to reestablish our communion and oneness with God so that we could live our lives at one with him. And it requires constant vigilance, that's true. It requires constant watching ourselves, developing watchfulness, developing awareness, so that whenever we act not according to Christ, but according to the influence of the world that we live in, because the world will give us a blessing to be separate from God. The world will give us a blessing to be in communion with itself and not with God. And the temptation will be to act according to the spirit of our times. And if you look at the spirit of our times, you see that all that is good and holy and decent and magnificent that human beings have accomplished is being dissolved by a selfishness, a lack of love of God and others. That's the spirit of our times. And it's an influence on us. We go into the world and we are called upon as Orthodox Christians to fight against the spirit of the world in our own hearts, to do battle against that evil. because there is an evil incense in the world, an evil spirit in the world of self-affirmation, self-love, rejection of others, hatred of others, rejection of God, forgetfulness of God. Those are the things that we need to repent of. Any sign in our heart that we are beginning to take that tone from the world, the way the choir is given a tone, we are given the tone of our lives in the world by our repentance from our sins, by our repentance of those things that tempt us, and by a return to the virtues of Christ. That's our tone. Each one of those virtues is the true tone of our lives. But the world will try to throw us off key. And whenever we notice that, whenever we see the variance, the difference between the tone that has been put in our hearts by our repentance, confession, and love of God, and our communion with Him, then we need to reject it. Strike that tone of repentance in our hearts and continue to live according to the life in Christ. That's what our life is for. God gives us this time in the world so that we can become more and more like Him under fire, in a situation where we have to confront all that is not holy and reject it in our hearts. Not condemn it in others, that's easy, but to reject it in our own heart. That is the nature of repentance. That is the nature of renewal. That is the nature of spiritual healing. And it's not something that needs just to happen in each one of the four fasting seasons, one of which we're about to begin. We go to the sacrament of confession regularly, minimally, during each one of the fasting seasons, in order to establish the tone of the virtues that we are to live in the world at one with Christ. Not by our own strength, but by the strength of our union with Him, because He, in His goodness, is the one that we love. We love the holiness and the goodness of God. And we want to not be separated from that by the false tones of the world around us. Those things can only be accomplished by repentance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.